Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show, off and running on the final week of August. Today, Monday, August the 26th already, 2024. We'll begin our 15th year, hard to believe, in January, of the Buckmaster Show, the radio program. Coming to you from the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, all of the stations here, and there are now five under one roof. The latest acquisition, The Drive, 101.7, stations doing very well, all part of the Bustos Media Company, and this one's KVOI, 1030, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening. That means if you're near a computer, check out buckmastershow.com. We take the live feed there from kvoi.com, and we have our podcasts. Pretty much every show we have done over the past 14 and a half years, very easy, convenient to just in the search mode, put in the name of the guest and it will come up. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we're off and running with our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. We have two of them at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Beautiful mirrors, art for your walls. Moe's a great photographer, and they've got a lot of his things at the gallery. The picture framing, they certainly excel there. It's kind of their signature. And hanging services and hanging systems, it means Moe makes house calls. He'll come out and make sure it goes up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one guest today, Dr. Shane Burgess, is with us, Vice President for the University of Arizona Division of Agriculture, Life, and Veterinary Sciences and Cooperative Extension, and the Charles Sander Dean of the College of Agriculture, Life, and Environmental Sciences, or CALS, as the acronym goes. Dr. Burgess oversees CALS' five schools, five departments, 22 majors, is responsible for the statewide Arizona Cooperative Extension System and the Arizona Experiment Station. CALS is the lead contributor to the University of Arizona's ranking as the top-performing university in the United States, number two globally in water resources. Dr. Burgess also led the creation of three unique entities that serve Arizona, the College of Veterinary Medicine, the Yuma Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture, and the Natural Resource Users Law and Policy Center. He is a native of New Zealand. He's a Kiwi and a first-generation college graduate. Dr. Shane Burgess has worked around the world as a practicing veterinarian and scientist. Dr. Burgess, thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thank you.
My goodness, that portfolio. You've got a huge footprint at the University of Arizona, don't you?
Yes, it's actually within the state, all over the state, including all the tribal nations. And also we have a footprint in a couple of other states just next door, New Mexico and Nevada, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. So with this large footprint, how do you continue? And I know you're the kind of person that's hands-on and you really want to make sure that the students, and students are back on campus, by the way, folks, if you have not noticed. People are looking for cost-effective areas. They want a good education, but they don't want to pay forever for it. What's your message to your students and their parents?
Well, that's a good question, because it's probably the same message that I needed to hear when I was going to university, and that was that our students come to us in our college to better their lives, and they define it very clearly, and we know this because we ask them. 98% of our students come to us to do one of two things. One, get a well-paying job mm-hmm. that will give them economic security, and the other one is to go to higher education still, professional school or graduate school. And so we're a large contributor into the health sciences professions, medicine, dentistry, pharmacy, veterinary medicine. But really, the students and our families, that's what they're about. They're about making sure that graduates are employable coming out, that they, especially today, we've got to be thinking about what are the, what do we need these students to leave the university with so that they're able to cope with an economy that's, the change in this economy is happening faster than ever before in history.
Mm-hmm.
And the future will bring the change faster still. So we're looking, you know, 5 years out for me today, 5 years out is just the period of time that it's going to take someone in their last year of high school to leave us and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually reasonably short term. But if you think about the changes that we're expecting to see in the next 5 years,
mm-hmm.
don't even think about black swan events like pandemics.
Sure.
And so, you know, we need to be thinking ensuring that we can be thinking about employability. But not just that. Finally, and we started this way. Everybody in agriculture started this way, and that is entrepreneurship. We've got to be encouraging people to have the confidence and the skill set to be thinking entrepreneurially, even if they're not going to be entrepreneurs per se, because every company needs that. I guess finally, what I say when they're graduating, and hopefully they've got to this point by then, is that they need to be able to ensure that the value they're creating for their employer is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-fold more
mm-hmm.
than what their salary is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the reality of the private sector. We're very connected to the private sector. So this question about the value of higher education, it's a completely, in my opinion, very, very valid and very important, because the very worst thing you can do is start paying for a university education and before you finish, not finish, because you've got all this debt, you've spent all this time, there's all this opportunity cost,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and if you don't graduate with this degree
mm-hmm.
that you can articulate the value of, and that's another question,
mm-hmm.
can the students articulate the value of their degree and what they got in addition to the coursework that makes them, will make them a good employee
mm-hmm.
Or a good bet for a bank, then we haven't done our job. So, I mean, this is the key thing. So one of the issues we have is students, especially from first-generation families, many students are looking after kids themselves or are caregivers for older people. They'll get almost all the way there, almost all the way finished, and then they'll literally peter out of money with one or two classes to go. And so that is a huge, huge deal, because these are the people that hurt the most with college debt from public universities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about debt from the tiny minority of people that go to these elite private liberal arts universities, Harvard, Stanford, Yale, et cetera. That's a different kettle of fish. But from the large public universities, the land-grant universities, it's when you don't quite get through to the end, you end up with this debt that is of no value to you. And so one of the things that we've done is we recognized that we have students who literally can't afford to pay for the very last course they're going to do.
Yeah, and that would be such a crime to have to drop out at that point. Can you help these people?
Well, that's exactly what we've done. So we've established something called the Finish Line Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the largest leverage of any dollars I've ever seen for philanthropy ever. So what we do is we identify students who have done really well during their college degree, college courses. They're not quite able to graduate, because they literally can't afford to. They're literally already living in their car and already hardly eating. And then we identify these folks and we give them small awards, $1,500, $3,000, and that enables them to pay what they need to pay.
Get over the finish line.
Get over the finish line. And then most of these students, they are the first student to graduate in their family.
Mm-hmm.
They may be the only person in their family that's gone to college that speaks English, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then when these students look back in 20 years' time, and when their family members look back in 20 years' time, it'll be these students who have literally transformed the lives of these entire families.
All right. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Shane Burgess. In many ways, his organization that he oversees is the foundation of the University of Arizona. I mean, and the land grant mission, when you're talking about agriculture, agriculture was basically, Dr. Burgess, what built the University of Arizona, correct?
No question. Yeah. So the University of Arizona started with the College of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Very quickly after that was the College of Mining. So the engineering mm-hmm. dean will like to say they were first, but they weren't. We have being a land-grant university is actually quite special. We have a special place in the state's constitution. We have employees all around the state. About 1,300 people are employed right now, only 300 faculty of that 1,300. But our faculty are distributed all around the state too. And the key thing about a land-grant university is the entire mission of a land-grant university going right back to 1862, to Lincoln, when he started the land-grant universities, was to drive the economy. Now, many university presidents will say, of course, we contribute and drive the economy because we're the only people who are allowed to graduate students with degrees. We've just been talking about that. The key thing with the land-grant universities is they started off doing that, focusing on higher education. For the first time in the world, education for everybody, if you could get in, if you were smart enough to get in, not just for the elite or the wealthy or otherwise privileged or those in the church, which you found with the mm-hmm. starting universities in the United States, such as Harvard. After a little while, though, they found out that they're educating all these smart people and they're all getting all excited about all the new knowledge, but there needed to be a place where you could invent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1887, Congress follows up this initial act, starting the land-grant universities, follows it up with a place to do experiments and research and develop things and do innovations. And we call that the experiment station today. It started life as the agriculture experiment station. The land-grant university started with the mandate to do agriculture and the mechanical arts. Today we call the mechanical arts engineering. But the really key important thing is not forsaking the liberal arts. Why? Because if we can't communicate all these cool things we've discovered, they're not going to get out and do any good.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Dr. Shane Burgess, Vice President for the University of Arizona Division of Agriculture, Life, and Veterinary Sciences and Cooperative Extension at the University of Arizona. He is our Monday one-on-one guest, the Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985. When we continue with Dr. Burgess talking a little bit about outreach and something called the Tucson Village Farm, which a lot of people in this community are taking advantage of, and rightly so. It's a terrific project. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Time flies when you're having fun. Dr. Shane Burgess, so much to cover with Dr. Burgess, and I won't go into his full resume because the man's accomplished so much, but he is the Vice President for the University of Arizona Division of Agriculture, Life, and Veterinary Sciences and Cooperative Extension. He is the Charles Sander Dean of the College of Agriculture, Life, and Environmental Sciences. And if you haven't picked up already, he is from New Zealand, picking up that Kiwi accent. First-generation college graduate, Dr. Burgess has worked around the world as a practicing vet and scientist. Kind of bottom line, can you summarize your life journey, Dr. Burgess, from New Zealand to Southern Arizona in less than a minute?
Wow.
Yeah.
Graduated into a 17% unemployment recession. And that's important because it meant that of the 64 people in my graduating class at vet school, only 3 people got jobs and the rest left the country. So That's 61 people out of 64 leaving the country to get work. Now, I left the country from a first world Western democracy. And so, but that's why there was this huge diaspora at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in context, the Great Recession was 11% here. So that's really sets off this journey, along with the fact that my mother was from one country, my father was from another. But then it was basically Australia, bottom of Africa, all the way up the East Coast, Middle East during the First Intifada, over to Great Britain, work in England, work in Scotland with salmon, of all things, world's largest fish farming company. Back down to England, where I did my PhD in cancer biology, immunology, and virology, and then worked for Tony Blair on the foot and mouth disease crisis in 2001, and Prime Minister of the UK, and then headed over to Mississippi State, where I worked for 10 years, and then came over here in 2011.
The outreach is one of the signatures of your organization at the University of Arizona. Tell us about the Tucson Village Farm. Folks may have heard about it. It's over on Campbell. And what kind of work do they do there, Dr. Burgess?
Yeah, so what you call outreach, we're really a little sensitive to that word because we call it cooperative extension. And cooperative extension was the third component of the land-grant universities. It was a federal act, the Smith-Lever Act in 1914. And cooperative extension has 4 big arms to it. Start off with the 3 that I'm not going to talk about, and then we get on to Tucson Village Farm. The first of those arms was agriculture and natural resources. The second of those arms is family, consumer, and health sciences. and everything there. We do everything there from helping people with their financial well-being to under fives dental care, for example. And then we have underpinning the whole thing is economic development, which, by the way, remember, is underpinning the whole reason for the land-grant universities triumvirate of education, mm-hmm. research, and then extending this stuff into the economy for the economy. And then finally, we end up with the one that many, 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 many people are most know Cooperative Extension for, and that's our youth leadership program, the preeminent youth leadership program in the country. And it's called 4-H, and so many people know about 4-H. Well, Tucson Village Farm is a 4-H program. Now, Tucson Village Farm is exemplary and amazing, and I almost never use that last word, amazing. I almost never use the word incredible, because incredible suggests that it's hard to believe these people could do this. Tucson Village Farm isn't incredible when you meet the two women who started this and run it, because those two are forces of nature. So it's not incredible we have such an amazing program. And what it is Tucson Village Farm. It is a center for community engagement around human wellness. In other words, how can we stay well before we get sick? Mm-hmm. Built on this concept that something like 99% of children today are not exercising enough, not eating right, and many of it is because they're now from multi-generation families who literally the fresh produce aisle in the supermarket is scary.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
They don't know how to cook.
They don't know how to cook it.
So what we have is 16,000 youth today from Tucson and their families take part in, I was going to say summer camps, but they're camps and classes and workshops and a ropes course, growing their own food. We have an NIH research level kitchen there. We have a chef there. We've done nutritional science studies. But if you take 16,000 children and divide that by 365 days, I'm not going to do the math here because I probably could if I wasted a few seconds, but that is an enormous service. Half of those children are there on prescription from their medical provider.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this is all about changing the direction of our community from one of being concerned about being pre-diabetic when you're in your early 20s to completely changing their relationship with food, fresh food, how to eat, what to eat, and how to be well in the future. It's not surprising then that Michelle Obama visited when she was the first lady.
Uh-huh.
This is an incredible thing. If you don't know about Tucson Village Farm, Google it. They're literally an example for the entire country's 4-H program.
And they're over on Campbell. People know about
Campbell and Roger.
The campus kind of farm. Mm-hmm. It's across the street, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So if you're going north on Campbell and get to Roger, turn right, and there they are.
I could spend hours with you about your many missions at the University at Cal's, but I do want to talk about what I believe is our most important resource and how we're going to deal with it and the sustainability of water.
Yeah, I think Arizona's an amazing state. It only has three problems, right?
Right.
Water, water, and water.
There you go. I would agree.
Everything. Everything falls down on that. We don't have an awful lot of time, but one of the things I would say is that if you look to the three public universities in the state, and they're all actually objectively, measurably, really good universities. Arizona's blessed in that respect. But we're the water-doing university. And by that I mean we're about making a big difference. That's why this university is number one in the United States, number two in the world on water. It's a key thing. So I'm going to give you an example of what we do in Cooperative Extension. We're very, very engaged all around the state. Remember that more than 60% of the water we use in this state is Arizona's water. It falls as a monsoon. It falls as snowpack. It's not from the Colorado. We talk about the Colorado all the time. But that's other people's snow. And
right.
That's why we fight about it all the
right.
time. But we have water inside our state. We could talk about water management till the cows come home. We won't right now. But one of the things that the legislature is doing, multiple governors, decades here, multiple legislators. But one recent example of working with the legislature, and we work in and of the communities. Our people live there. Our faculty live in the communities. Our faculty are working in all of the nations through the federally recognized tribal extension program. But one of the things we did, and I'll give you this as an example, is something we call the Water Irrigation Efficiency Program. It comes under economic development, it comes under agricultural and natural resources, and it comes under our human wellness programs as well. 2 years ago, I think it was, Representative Tim Dunn introduced a bill that would be administered by Cooperative Extension, and it's a state-funded program that's over the last 2 years invested $45 million in water irrigation efficiency so far. Now, that's a lot of taxpayers' money. But let me put that in context. This program requires private sector partnership and investment. So there's been, in addition to the $45 million of taxpayer money, there's been $19 million coming from the private sector. And what happens is the private sector, oftentimes farmers themselves, are investing money, and for that money, they get provided as part of the grant program, which we manage, and the $45 million is costing us less than $1 million to manage, so most of it's going out the door. They get $1,500 per acre, up to $1 million per individual, to switch from various irrigation practices. I'm sure Jeff Silvertooth's talked a lot about, from flood irrigation especially, to other water-saving irrigation systems. Right now, we've had 25,000 acres bought under this program. And what it's saved is 48,000, almost 49,000 acre feet at the cost of $262 per acre foot. Compare that with desalination, which would cost the taxpayer $3,000 per acre foot.
Wow. Dr. Shane Burgess, pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Burgess. Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Midway Point of the Buckmaster Show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. Perfect time of year to go over to their location on River, greenthingsaz.com. And their sister business, Zocalo Village, zocalovillage.com. They're in their 53rd year of business, and they do a great job. The owners, Jan and Jack, very hands-on. I highly recommend them. A lot of people in this community love Green Things, and there's a reason why. 13-acre site, everything you need and could imagine, really, in the way of plants and items, accessories for the garden. When we do our telephone interviews, we're going to be doing that right now, that live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line, the District 2 Democrat representing, represents District 2 on the five-member board of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I wanted to get an update on COVID. We've had quite the surge. California's had a big time surge, and we had Dr. Cullen on our Friday Focus interview a couple of weeks ago, and she was hoping, Dr. Hines, that we were nearing a peak here in Pima County. What are you hearing?
Sure, and a lot of my experience is more anecdotal, just because I'm doing it. While the numbers, again, we are seeing those concerning numbers in terms of translating into a lot of severe COVID cases requiring hospitalizations. I certainly have not been seeing that on the front line on the hospital side of things. Certainly, nothing like we saw. January of 2021 or June of 2020, nothing like that. So while the numbers are certainly concerning and we should all be paying attention and doing all of the things to protect ourselves and our loved ones and be careful, of course, hand washing. And if you're sick or having a fever or cough or sneezing, then, stay away from other people. Don't go into the workplace, all of that kind of basic common sense stuff. But in terms of seeing a we don't have COVID wards, for example, like we used to. We aren't seeing those spikes in terms of positivity of infection in the community translate like we used to into the severity requiring hospitalization. So while the numbers ballooning are concerning, the fact that we aren't seeing the severity level like we used to is at least somewhat reassuring.
Dr. Matt Hines is with us on the live line, and Dr. Hines is a hospitalist. He works over at Tucson Medical Center, and the COVID shot, the upgraded COVID vaccine is now available, and like
that's right.
I know Walgreens. In fact, I'll be one of the first in line. I've actually booked my appointment. I think the vaccine is going to be available a week from Friday, and I'm in line there. I think I've got my appointment, one of the first appointments that morning. I think everybody should get the shot. At least that's my opinion. And Pima County and Dr. Cullen feel very strongly about it. And I had a news release today that the county health department is going to be trying their best to make sure that that money is not going to be the problem in keeping people from getting the shot, Dr. Hines.
Exactly. Yeah, that is exactly what what we need to be doing from a government level, from the county department of public health, right? This is exactly what we need to be doing. It's not just because you can afford something that means you get that protection. We need to make sure that is available to everybody, because if one of us is running around, like spreading around COVID, then it's a danger to all of us in the community.
And I just received a news release within the hour from the Pima County Health Department, and they're launching a new campaign aimed at educating people about long-term or long COVID. And it's
long COVID, sure.
Yeah, it's kind of innovating. It's going to be relatable humor and kind of a comic book storytelling to educate the community about long COVID and how to prevent it. And they're actually going to be launching this at a comic book convention called Tucson Comic Dash Con, and that's going to be later this week. So long-term COVID is nothing to turn your nose up at. It has serious implications.
For sure, and I love the fact. I mean, that we have Dr. Cullen, at the helm here. We I've said this to you multiple times before. We are so very fortunate to have someone like Dr. Cullen with her experience in public health and you know, also a clinician herself, of course. We are tremendously blessed as a community to have her skill set. Every day, being applied to make us all safe from that public health perspective. And this is just the kind of innovation that that we've come to expect, from her and from her team. And I'm really excited about it.
I want to talk a little bit about another health-related item. You and your colleagues have said yes. I believe there was one dissenting vote. Supervisor Christie did not come on board with this, and that would be the heat-related ordinance. Could you address that, please?
Oh, sure. So that now is approved. Of course, 30 days after the actual vote is when that will go into effect. And that applies, what we've approved applies to Pima County, two categories of people, Pima County employees, so that's the 7,000 approximately Pima County employees, and then it applies to any contractor relationship. So the team members or employees of any contracted partner with the county must also, for those employees, adhere to the same standards. And it's pretty basic stuff, but it is now in force. And we're the first, we are the first county in the state of Arizona to do a heat ordinance like this. And I'm very proud of that. And it's basic stuff like requiring that employees have regular access to a ready access rather to water, also breaks on a regular basis to cool off. And of course, to shade as much as is practicable, depending on their specific, workplace environment. So these three basic areas are what we're talking about, and applies to county employees plus employees of contractors that have a contract with Pima County at this point. I do believe Steve Christie raised some concerns that this could be something that would eventually, could be applied to all businesses in Pima County. That is true, but it is also important to point out that OSHA, just I think last month even, just put out their own potential rule doing exactly the same thing, and that would absolutely apply to all businesses. So I think it's common sense, especially in our area, and I'm proud to be part of the board that approved it for the first time in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. OSHA said something, something has to be done. They were looking at particularly Maricopa County and skyrocketing number of deaths, heat-related deaths,
huge.
Dr. Hines.
Yes, exactly. So this may be coming down, it seems like it's coming down the pipeline anyway, so I think that taking these steps for county employees and for those the workers that are contracted with us, of course, makes a lot of sense. It's the right thing to do, and quite possibly this will be kind of the predecessor to a larger federal plan that might come through OSHA sometime soon.
It is election season. Listener Debbie wanted me to ask you a couple of questions about you are standing for re-election, a second four-year term in District 2. It's really a three-part question. What do you like most about being a supervisor? That's part one. If elected, what will be your priorities for the district? And she was also concerned she lives in a low-income area in your district, and that's of a particular concern. So it looks like it's a three-part question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Debbie. That's excellent questions, all of them. Yes, I am standing for election, and if hired again by voters like Debbie and others, I will be honored to serve for another four-year term. I'd say one of the things I like most about being a supervisor is the ability to really see firsthand and sometimes quite immediately the effect of working on behalf of my constituents. And as a physician during COVID, I was literally vaccinating my actual constituents. That's obviously a very literal example, just being able to affect policy that can immediately have an effect on folks. One of the things that my office put forward during COVID was to help on the public health sort of side of things to prevent evictions. We created emergency eviction legal services program that has now become a part of the county, also a first in the state of Arizona. And that has helped hundreds, actually thousands now, of people to avoid eviction. And so just one example, that required a majority vote of this board, as opposed to being in the legislature, which I used to be in, which was 90 individuals. You had to run around, and it took a heck of a lot longer to get things done. So I like the fact that you can have an idea and put it forward. Maybe it takes a meeting or two to discuss it. And if it's something that a couple of your colleagues agree to, we can start a pilot program and see how it works and then expand it if it works well. That's just it's more rewarding, and I think it's more efficient and better for my constituents. So I do like that a lot. And now I've lost track of what the other questions were.
I'm at the ready here with part two. What priorities for you?
Yes, priorities. One of the biggest priorities that has been during this past 4 years has been addressing the ongoing crisis with homelessness, especially street living homelessness, and those that are, again, facing eviction or who are just desperate to find housing that's affordable. We lack tens of thousands, I think it's over 40,000 housing units. A majority of those need to be affordable housing units for Pima County. And for the first time ever, Pima County has been dedicating funds to help provide gap funding so that we can help fund affordable housing type projects. That's happened now for two budget cycles. I believe we are up to about $12 million. That's definitely not enough, but continuing to focus and hopefully expand, find some additional sources for funds to help folks to avoid becoming homeless, and also to help increase the number of affordable housing, just housing in general that we have in Pima County, will be a major focus going forward. And I think, to Debbie's third point, doing whatever we can, which is part of the constitutional mandate for supervisors, doing whatever we can to improve the economic condition of all of our residents in the county. And that's something that I understand in District 2 as well as in District 5. My colleague Adelita Grijalva, we have two districts that have a lot of folks facing poverty and having economic struggles, more so than others, like in District 1 and 4, though they are, of course, across the county. And some examples of that that we've seen, and again, the jobs have not come yet from this, but right in the middle of District 2, you have Mosaic Quarter. There will be hundreds of jobs, not just for the folks building it, but hundreds of jobs for people in the area once this is fully up and running. And we have American Battery Factory that also has come, is being built in District 2. Several hundred more jobs there, and continuing to work to again improve the economic condition of all residents is going to be a huge priority, and something that I think applies very directly to Debbie's question.
All right, we'll take a break right here. A few more minutes with Dr. Matt Hines after we take our final break of this Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown. Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Perfect time of year. I can feel the change happening in the air. It seems like fall is coming, and not a day too soon, right? But a great time of year is a great time of year to visit Silver City. It's a great getaway, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. It's going to be cooler there because of their elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet, depending on where you are in the Silver City area. But it's a great getaway, only about a three-hour drive. Check it out. Their website has all your planning info. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, O-R-G. So that will start your planning, and I hope you follow through with a trip over to a beautiful area, southeast corner of the Land of Enchantment. We continue now our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're talking with Ward 2 Pima County Supervisor, Democrat Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, it was announced today that Pima County is going to put a couple of security guards on the Huckleberry Loop. These guards will be out there primarily in the evening hours. A good move as far as you're concerned?
Sure. Yeah, I think that certainly makes sense from a public safety standpoint. And I think that will be reassuring for our residents.
You talked earlier in our conversation about the Mosaic Project, and a lot of people probably heard about it for the first time when it was announced that longtime Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek had gone over there to kind of help shepherd the process. And I wonder if you could fill our listeners in, one, what is the Mosaic Project, and where specifically is it, and what will it be doing?
Sure. So this is a very large development. The there's you probably are familiar with the Keno Sports Complex. It is the southern portion of that, and it is currently not developed, but it is going to be with a variety of things, like there will be ice skating rinks, pickleball courts, restaurants and hotels, and just a very, very large, basically, expansion of that sports complex theme. And it's going to be starting up here, I think, in the next year or so. That's why Steve Kasachek jumped over there to basically help us, shepherd that process along and work with the developer. And, the county entered into that agreement. Gosh, it's been, I don't have an exact date, but it was last year. And it's going to take some time to get everything kind of up and running, and it's going to be developed in phases, of course. But along the way, not only in terms of creating it, but also in then staffing it, right? We're going to have hundreds of jobs coming into the community just as a result of this. And also, it'll be really great for I think families, especially families with children interested in these kinds of sports activities. This would really, it's going to be quite an economic powerhouse, I think, right in the middle of District 2, and something that is adjacent to a lot of areas where there are a lot of low-income families. And the developers have been very clear that they're going to have funding on an ongoing annual basis to ensure that it's not just families from the foothills or other parts who are well-to-do or able to afford these kinds of fees or to afford the equipment to participate in these sports, but children from families that might be struggling a little bit more who will be able to also avail themselves of this new expanded sports complex and participate.
How is the county doing financially here at the midway point here of the fiscal year, a little beyond the midway point?
Doing well. We had a little bit of because, we were kind of preparing ourselves for, a significant hit to state shared revenue, for example. And we've been actually, we've actually had some good news in that those numbers have been coming in at or even slightly above what we were expecting. So there were preparations made, of course. Departments were told to kind of like tighten their belts a bit in preparation for additional, cuts potentially going forward. But, knock on wood, so far so good. Like we are, we're kind of right where we need to be, if not a little bit to the positive right now.
And with the Catholic Charities perhaps being under investigation over some mismanagement of laundry services at Casas Alitas, has the board been briefed on this, or is that?
We were.
Yeah.
There was a memo from May 17th, as I recall. I might be off on the day, but the memo came out from Jan Lesher, and it's from this, and it was included a paragraph of quotes. Just saying, without specific names, but saying there was a vendor that was, contracted with inappropriately, not consistent with the conflict of interest policy of Catholic Community Services. This is, again, all internal to Catholic Community Services. They have worked with us very well to help us manage the migrant crisis. And frankly, without them, we wouldn't have been able to have a zero street release situation that we have over the past 5+ years. So, this is something that they identified internally. The two employees that were involved were released from service, so they're not there anymore. And of course, as the financial stewards of the county, and of course stewards of some of these federal dollars that are being used to reimburse appropriate expenses, any overcharged dollars, which our accountants and their accountants are figuring out specifically, would of course not be, no tax dollars will be used to reimburse inappropriately charged, inappropriate charges. So,
all right.
But that's about all I know.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines, thank you very much. I hope you have a great afternoon.
Sure thing, Bill. You too.
Okay, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Engineering and producing my program, I wish everybody well.